Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Of historic deficits, this 110th Congress will commit itself to a higher standard. Pay as you go, no new deficit spending.
My fear is that the Tea Party gets a charismatic leader because all they're selling is fear and anger.
Right.
And that's all Hitler sold. I'm angry and I'm frightened and you should hate that guy over there.
Right.
Blue Monday.
Pelosi's skirt is on fire from her lies. That was her in 07 saying there'd be no new deficit spending. Of course, she spent $5 trillion. And there was a fat slob from Hollywood on a maniac show on HBO who, he's a seltzer boy, let's put it that way. Rob Reiner is another boy from Brooklyn, another one of the Brooklyn boys, the Larry David crowd, let us put it to you that way, the boys who grew up in communist socialist households, for whom behind every American is a Nazi uniform. He's frightened, Rob Reiner. Play that again so in case they missed it. Listen to, I want you to listen to the paranoid mind of a fat slob from Hollywood who sees a Nazi behind every American in the Tea Party movement. Listen to the pathology of this lunatic.
My fear is that the Tea Party gets a charismatic leader. Because all they're selling is fear and anger.
Right.
And that's all Hitler sold. I'm angry and I'm frightened and you should hate that guy over there.
Right.
So he's selling hate and he's saying that anyone in a Tea Party is selling hate. And the drug addict is saying yes, yes, yes to him. And behind every American, there is a Nazi to this slob. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on about the madness of liberalism. I've been trying to prove to you for years that liberalism is, in fact, a mental disorder. I don't think I need to prove it to you anymore. We have about 1 week left to cast Obama and his crooks into oblivion. We have 1 week left to convince your neighbor to cast Obama and his gang into political oblivion. Do you hear what I just said to you? Now, let me turn to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter's on a book tour where his book isn't selling. I don't know what he wrote, something about how wonderful he is. And Jimmy Carter's at one bookstore after another, hundreds of bookstores. And in every speech, he says, America hasn't improved much over the past three decades, Jimmy Carter says. He says, we had almost complete harmony with every nation on earth, said the communist, a Nobel Peace Prize, communist prize winner. He said, we not only preserved peace for our country, we never went to war. We never dropped a bomb. We never fired a missile. Well, of course, that's why there was peace, because you basically turned America into the world's patsy. And that's because you've been a lifetime Jew-hating communist. And you're the one, Jimmy Carter. You are the one who freed Ayatollah Khomeini from exile in Paris. You are the one who disseminated radical Islam throughout the world. So don't give us your double talk. You know, go drink your strychnine and wave your snakes over your head. And don't give us that crap. Maybe you could sell it in Salt Lake City, but you can't sell it on the Savage Nation. Now, why am I bringing up Hollywood and Jimmy Carter and the left-wing establishment under Obama? Because they're all part and parcel of the same cabal. They're all part and parcel of the same paranoid, corrupt left. We have only a week to go. Many of you paid no attention to politics until now. You were too busy watching baseball or what, I don't know, whatever ordinary people do. Or maybe there's a wisdom in not paying much attention to the lying world of politicians. I don't really know. I do it for a living, so to me it's my lifeblood at this point. But I will tell you, I have never been a supporter of the Republican Party. Let me make it perfectly clear. Michael Savage established the center in radio before others even knew what the center was. Most of the so-called conservatives in the radio have always been water carriers for the Republican Party. I have never trusted the Republicans. I still don't trust them. But I trust them more than the dirty Democrats. The dirty Democrats are the worst, lowest crooks in American history. This gang under Obama is the most dangerous gang America has ever seen. It's gone off the ken of acceptability. I filled out my absentee ballot here in San Francisco yesterday. And do you know what I did for the first time in my life? There are so many ballot measures in California, I couldn't keep up with them. And I do this for a living. The only one I was aware of was the legalized marijuana issue, which I voted against. I'm against legalizing marijuana, by the way. But do you know what I did with regard to every candidate? I filled in the R in every box. I figured, look, they're a gang of crooks like the rest of them. But at least I have a fighting chance with the R's, with no chance whatsoever, owing to the fact that the government media complex, i.e. the newspapers and TV, will always cover for the Democrat thieves and always attack the Republicans. So I checked all R's for the first time in my life. We have 1 week left to cast Obama and his crooks into political oblivion. How do you do it? I would think that the majority of people listening to this show have made up their minds. They pretty much are in accord with the polls, the way people are going. Most of them want to throw Obama out. They know he's a fraud. They know he was put in by very powerful foreign interests, as well as very powerful domestic interests. And they know he's totally inept and absolutely unqualified for this office. To 100th percentile, he is the worst and most divisive president in American history. He has almost turned this country back to the age of the Civil War with his racial and other divisiveness. There is no question that most Americans see through him. But the question is, what about the other Americans who see nothing? How do you convince them about the danger we are in and how we must get rid of the Democrats under Obama? How do you do that? Are you going to be able to talk to them? You know the Democrats and lifetime liberals don't converse. You know that their minds are made up. You know that they're bigots. You know that they're full of hatred. You know that they assume that they're smarter than you and that they're more reasonable than you. But I played for you a soundbite by a man named Rob Reiner, a big fat buffalo frog from Hollywood, a buffo of the worst order who's produced some of the worst dreck Hollywood's ever seen. You know what crowd he's from? The Mel Brooks, Brooklyn wise guy crowd. They think they know more than everybody on earth. The type that create shows that, let us say, denigrate Jesus. The type of people who produce shows where every American who ever wore a uniform for America is considered a Nazi. You know the type I'm talking about. A lifetime group of yellow-bellied turncoat backstabbers. And yet they think that Obama is their savior. How are you going to convince them? The answer is don't bother. Do not bother talking to the lifetime brainwashed true believers. I'm appealing to you to go out this week and talk to a neighbor or don't say a word. Do it silently. Yes, I'm going to tell you how to do it because I spent over a year planning it. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. You have a week, and I'll stop after this week, but not until the election is over. I'm imploring you, carry a copy of my book, Trickle Up Poverty, in your arms. Carry it all week. Carry it through a supermarket. Carry it on an airplane. Carry it to the voting booth next week. Have an election official say you can't bring that in here. I don't care where you carry it, but make sure that cover is seen by strangers. Have the guts to walk around with this billboard. You live in the greatest country on earth, the freest country on earth, and you have a right to read anything you want. You have a right to say anything you want, and you have a right to write anything you want as long as you don't threaten anyone's life. Is that correct? Well, then use your rights because you may not have any after the next election. If you don't decimate the Democrat Party, if you don't stop the liberal fascism cold and force them to lose over 50 seats, the juggernaut of the radical corrupt left will go on and on. Nancy Pelosi, her skirt's on fire. She's been lying so much. Remember in 2007 what she said? Play that again in case they missed it. Play that soundbite.
After years of historic deficits, this 110th Congress will commit itself to a higher standard. Pay as you go, no new deficit spending.
Now, how in the world can this woman not be forced to step down as Speaker of the House when she has so embarrassed this nation? She is a naked liar, a bald-faced liar, and she gets away with it. And I'll give you the answer with another soundbite. Who do you think was the first to raise tens of millions of dollars for Obama when he was unknown? I happen to know who it was. I know where it happened. I know which houses it happened in. It happened in the very same houses that are now raising money for Rahm Emanuel. They are the houses of the billionaires who run Hollywood. I can name them, but I don't have to. You know who they are. They're all of the most extreme kind. They run the entire entertainment industry, and the Seltzer Boys fear them. I want you to listen to the mindset of the Seltzer Boys in clip number 8 again. Listen to it.
My fear is that the Tea Party gets a charismatic leader because all they're selling is fear and anger.
Right.
And that's all Hitler sold. I'm angry and I'm frightened and you should hate that guy over there.
Now, he says that Tea Parties are selling fear and anger, and the man says he's frightened, so that means he's full of fear. And he's full of anger and hate because he says hate the other guest on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, liberalism is a mental disorder. And the people who are in the Democrat machine who put Obama in power are perhaps the most evil, sick people the planet has ever seen. I have made my case. I'm now going to ask you a few questions. Number one, how are you going to help a neighbor make up their mind before next Tuesday? Number two, I want bookstore horror stories. I've had 6 of them emailed to me this weekend about bookstores at airports where they take other bestsellers and they put them out prominently and hide mine in the back. I want names. I want the names named on this show. I'll be right back.
Savage.
My fear is that the Tea Party gets a charismatic leader because all they're selling is fear and anger.
Right.
And that's all Hitler sold. I'm angry and I'm frightened and you should hate that guy over there.
Well, liberalism is a mental disorder. They're frightened now. The reason they're frightened is they know they've wrecked the country. They've robbed the country. They've raped the country. They've destroyed your son and daughter's mind. And now they're afraid that the American people are going to be heard from, and their guy in the White House and their corrupt Democrat Party will no longer be there to cover their back when they are finally investigated with the new UAC. You know, you say, what's UAC? You don't even know. I have a 37-point plan. It's as clear as a bell. It's a 37-point program to save America. It's in trickle-up poverty. I have given you some of the points, but you don't know all of the points. I have asked for a reimposition of UAC in my book. Many of you don't even know what UAC is. But UAC was the House Un-American Activities Committee back in the 50s during the McCarthy era. Now, slow down for a minute. You don't know what I'm talking about if you think that McCarthy was a bad man. McCarthyism, you have been told, was a bad guy. And the reason you've been told he's a bad guy is because he was a good guy. And the people who have told you he was a bad guy were the bad guys. The fact is that Joe McCarthy was a congressman. He had been a tail gunner in World War II, while the profiteers, who never fought in World War II, were collecting big, fat government checks. After the war, McCarthy ran for office, became a congressman, and he was the chairman of UAC. And he tried to warn America about all of the communists who were, in fact, in Hollywood, all of the communists who were, in fact, in the media and in the government. Well, they smeared him. They smeared him and they forced him out and they drove the guy crazy. And they made you believe that McCarthyism was bad because he was the one who was closest to exposing them for who they were and how high up the communists had gone in this government and in the media. It turns out, though, that there is proof that McCarthy was correct. You can find it yourself if you doubt me. They are called the Venona Papers, V-E-N-O-N-A. They came out about 10 years ago. I read them on the air. The Venona Papers were disclosures of former KGB operatives who insisted that McCarthy was 100% right. Remember who we are. We're talking about former Soviet communists who were saying after the fall of the wall that in fact there were communist spies in the government, in the media, in Hollywood, and that McCarthy was 100% right. So I'm saying to you that we need to reintroduce a HUAC-type committee in America, House of Un-American Activities Committee, and we need to bring in people like the type I am playing on this show and investigate their background, their affiliations, their what their loyalties may be, where they get their money from for their movies and things like that. Of course they're frightened. All of Hollywood is frightened right now that America is finally being heard from again. And let me tell you something. You see what's going on with the ragtag Muslim pirates from Somalia? They dare capture one ship after another, and our impotent, pathetic Navy doesn't fire a shot because we have two Stepford wives running the military. We have a Secretary of Defense who should be running a PTA. Instead of giving them ransoms, do you understand what has happened to this once great nation? How many different ways do I have to tell you? 40 years of communism, of Marxism, has rendered us almost impotent. The leadership is gutless. It is just simply corrupt. It has the guts to steal, yes. It has the guts to lie, yes. It has the guts to take over one sector of the American population after another and hoodwink them with drugs, with alcohol, with pornography, and render you almost helpless to the onslaught. But it doesn't have the guts to take on radical Islam virtually anywhere in the world. Instead, it covers radical Islam. And when a rather tepid 20-watt bulb on NPR, the only black male commentator, by the way, dare say one word about Muslims, he is fired by the fascist with fingernails from NPR. And what do I say today to that? Muslims trump blacks in the playbook of liberal victimhood. That's right. Now Muslims trump blacks in the playbook of liberal victimhood. I'll tell you more about it when I return in the Savage Nation.
Savage.
So we have the most corrupt, divisive administration in American history, denying military voters the right to vote. At least in Illinois, we know that military voters may not be able to cast a ballot, but that the corrupt machine in Illinois made sure that prisoners voted on time. That's right. Soldiers, military voters, shut out in Illinois, but prisoners in jail were given the right to vote on time. We are living in a banana republic. Now, the top 25 daily newspapers, amongst all of them, only one had a rise in circulation. The Wall Street Journal, owned by the News Corporation, had a circulation jump of 1.82%. Virtually all of the other lying leftist communist rags that have supported for 20 years now every tax increase and have biased against white males, particularly Christian white males, every other one of these rags is dying. USA Today down 3.6%. NYT down 5.5%. Los Angeles Times down 8.9%. Washington Post down 6.5%. New York Post, somewhat middle of the road, minus 1.2. Chicago Trib, minus 5.2. Houston Chronicle, minus 10.5. Philadelphia Once Inquirer, minus 5.10. No Newsday, minus 12%. 12% of once fabulous newspaper. But it was taken over by the jerks from J schools who were brainwashed in supporting the welfare state, tax increases for the hardworking American people, debasing police, debasing the military, attacking the Catholic Church. Newsday down 11.8%. The Denver Post down 9%. Arizona Republic minus 2.5. I go around the country. Cleveland Plain Liar minus 6.8. Seattle Times, minus 4.5. Chicago Sun-Times, minus 9. Detroit Once Free Press, minus 9. St. Petersburg Lies, minus 0.9. The Oregonian, down 4%. The San Diego Union Tribune of Communists, down 7. The San Francisco Chronicle, a once decent, never great newspaper, but decent, down 11.2%. The Newark Star-Ledger, down 9%. So where are the people turning for their news? There's no question the internet is the winner. But look, you're not going to expect the newspapers to tell you that talk radio has also been the winner, are you? Do you expect these people who are my natural enemy to acknowledge that I, Michael Savage, disseminate more news than most of them do? That I, Michael Savage, and my opinions are more respected and more listened to than almost all the editorial writers that I just read to you put together are? Do you expect them to say that my book is on the New York Times and other bestseller lists? Do you expect that? I don't. I don't expect that, nor should you. But if they don't wake up to the fact that you have turned away from them to get your information elsewhere, there is no hope for the American newspaper, which is a damn shame and a loss for all of us. That's right, you heard me say it, and I said it before. I grew up on newspapers. I still love newspapers, but I can't read them anymore. They're toxic. It's like picking up pornography. I can't read it. I'm offended by almost everything I see in these papers. Every tax increase supported. Support for every criminal. Attack on the church. Attack on the family. Attack on the children. I've never seen anything like this. So why would anyone buy it? Let me give you an example of a biased story. This just came out. Oral sex linked to rise in men's throat cancer. Now you say, wow, that's some jump, Mike. Only you could do it. Well, hold on now. Oral sex linked to rise in men's throat cancer. For 30 years, the liars in the medical establishment, the liars in the public health establishment, and the liars in the newspapers have told you if it feels good, do it. They've told you that sex is the best thing on earth, that the more of it, the better, that your mother and your father or your grandfather or your grandfather were all wrong. All of history was wrong. Only they were right. And now what's come out is that the liars at the CDC, who should all be fired for doing a rotten job, they're now producing information, a correlation between oral cancers and oral sex, mainly in men. Did you hear this? Oral sex between men is bringing about a rise in men's throat cancer, as well as a few other risk factors. Would you like to hear what they are? Would you like to hear this? Oh, how about marijuana? That's right. Oral sex amongst men and marijuana smoking are seen to be correlated in the increase of men's throat cancer. It's a horrible type of cancer. Just horrible. Just horrible, horrible, horrible. Each year, more than 30,000 new cases of cancer of the oral cavity and the pharynx are diagnosed. And more than 8,000 people die from oral cancer, according to the liars at the CDC. Disease control and prevention? Where were these useless idiots at the CDC while this was going on? They were telling you if it felt good, do it. They were telling you if you had an impulse, act on it. They were telling you to act like an animal. So now they're telling you what, that there's a disease relationship? Well, there it is. Head and neck cancers. 85% are men, 15% are women. It's going to take a couple of decades to see the trend turning around. The epidemiological risk factors are past sexual partners, as well as marijuana exposure, not just oral sex. Now, how many years have I told you about the carcinogenic elements of marijuana? I'm one of the only people in the media who is qualified to even discuss it. That's correct. I'm not going to cite my credentials because most of you know them by now. But the fact is I know this field very well. Marijuana is about the most toxic of the mainstream drugs. Go ahead and deny it. I don't care. And don't take any calls on the I don't want to hear from the dope smokers. The minute I say marijuana, the minute I say it, the dope heads start calling right away from Hollywood to Brooklyn. Oh, I smoke it. I'm fine. I function well, blah, blah. Don't give me that crap. You're giving yourself you're giving yourself throat cancer, and you're also making yourself stupid. It's a toxic drug, which is, by the way, why I voted against legalizing marijuana. I've heard every argument on both sides. I'm against it. George, to give you an example of another reason I'm against it, is George Soros is for legalizing marijuana, and he has been for years. His so-called open whatever society spent $1 million years ago in this state and in Arizona to get marijuana legalized. Why does George Soros, money trader, want marijuana legalized? It's not for the good of humanity, not in my opinion. It's to keep more people stupid and doped up so that more of these Hollywood types who are stoned either on prescription drugs or on alcohol with lunch or on marijuana. A joint's nothing to them. What's a glass of wine or a joint to a slob in Hollywood who goes out for a lunch to try and peddle another piece of crap, another piece of garbage movie or whatever, to one of the so-called producers from Brooklyn? See, it's a little closed world. How else do you explain a show like HBO that they put out called Boardwalk Empire with this guy who looks like a freak as the lead character? How could this have happened? You have a director like Martin Scorsese of his incredible genius. You have unlimited production money with gorgeous sets and gorgeous costumes, and they put a guy on with a voice that sounds like he's on laughing gas with no charisma whatsoever. I don't even know his name. The weasel always played a weaselly role, like a second-rate, third-rate gangster. What's his name? Who's in Boardwalk Empire? His name? Buscemi? They couldn't even get a decent lead. Why? Did they not know that Buscemi is, let us say, physically unappealing to viewers? You know, you were a coy looking at him. He was always a freakish guy. Admittedly a good second-rate, second-lead actor. Very interesting as a side note, but not the main circus act. Now, what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is they chose him to be the lead because they are in such an insular world. They don't even know what they're producing anymore in terms of the American people. So they produce a show on HBO like Boardwalk Empire. It's a bomb. A total disaster. That's after they produced a great series like The Sopranos. Don't think I'm just knocking all entertainment. Believe me, I love movies and I love good entertainment. This is a disaster. A horrible series. What am I getting at? They've lost any concept of what the average person will react to, and nor do they care. They live in their own world. And they produced, for example, a president named Obama, a manufactured president that they thought you would buy. The same guys like Rob Reiner, a man who has been, in my mind, a deranged leftist from day one. Listen to him again. Listen to this mind.
My fear is that the Tea Party gets a charismatic leader. Because all they're selling is fear and anger.
Right.
And that's all Hitler sold. I'm angry and I'm frightened and you should hate that guy over there.
You hear this? I mean, I don't understand how you cannot listen to this and see how pathetic these people are and how they're finally running scared because you have been seen. Do you understand this? So what does all this have to do with oral sex linked to rise in men's throat cancer and Steve Buscemi on Boardwalk Empire? Everything and nothing. I'll let you figure it out. I'm not going to repeat it because it's not a classroom. I'm pretty much through with that discussion. We'll move on because what I want to cover on today's show is the Democrats backing fake Tea Party candidates around the country. Came out and even the New York Times had enough of them. The desperate, evil Democrat Party under Nancy Pelosi has created fake Tea Party candidates. I'll tell you which ones. And then there was an amazing article on the election coming up and the records of the dirtiest election ever by the Democrats. I have a list here of each district and what they are doing. You're not going to believe the examples of one after the other and how the Democrats are creating the most dirty election in American history. You're not going to believe it, but I'm going to have it on the show. But before I do that, I want to give away a few copies of Trickle Up Poverty because I do have to tell you, I wrote the book for the election. I timed the book for release before the election. It has gone to the list. It's doing very well. Whether it sells 10,000 more copies this week or less doesn't matter to me financially. It matters to you and it matters to this country. And I need you to get out the vote. I need you to carry the cover. I need you to stop Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security. And then I'm going to tell you what happened last night. My dog Teddy bit me. I know it's a shock and a heartbreak to most of you. My little poodle man's best friend. I mean, it's almost like a man bites dog story, isn't it? It's sad. It's heartbreaking. I didn't put him down. I didn't do anything like that. But it was so shocking. It was an anomaly. It came out of nowhere. And all I could think about today was I got the little, you know, like the mouth print on my hand. I kept saying, what the hell is this metaphor? The metaphor is let sleeping dogs lie. In the sense that we were lying in bed watching television, and he was at the foot of the bed where he normally is, And normally while he's sleeping, I play with his feet or whatever. I touch him, just, you know, talk to him. I don't know, whatever you do with your dog, he comforts me. All of a sudden, he snarled. He turned like a monster. And I said, stop, and he bit my hand. Well, I had a choice right then and there. I could have hit him, which I didn't. I was going to roll him up in a blanket and carry him out and throw him out in the garden in the blanket. I didn't do that. I mean, I wasn't afraid of him, but I felt terrible because it was like my best friend bites me. What the hell was going on? Instead, what I did was I left the bedroom and I said, come out. And I shut the lights and he followed and I locked him out and that was the end of that. And then he was, of course, shocked that he had done it. Dogs are really crazy, but I know dog behavior. The point of the story is, as I was riding on my bicycle this morning, I was thinking to my maker the following. I said, what message have you sent me from the other world? What message are you sending me from the other side? Because I see animals as spirits, and I see these little furry angels as somehow guides, soul guides. I mean, in that sense, I'm a primitive. I understand that. But that's the way I'm made. Okay, it's the way I've evolved. It's the way I think. I said, there's got to be a bigger meaning. I'm the kind of guy who believes everything happens for a reason. Okay? What was the reason? What? All I could think of is, well, go back to the simple adage, let sleeping dogs lie. So what sleeping dog should I not provoke today, I said to myself. When I return in the Savage Nation, tell me what sleeping dog I should not provoke. I'll be right back. Savage. Well, here we are. We're looking at the most dirty campaign in American history, the Democrats backing fake Tea Party candidates around the country, Democrats setting the record for the dirtiest election ever. For example, in Staten Island, New York, Democratic Rep. Michael McMahon is bombarding airwaves with ads saying his Republican challenger, Michael Grimm, lost money speculating in real estate and operated a failed restaurant. Total lie. Never happened. And these are just some of the examples. Feingold of Wisconsin lied. Lying ads, one after the other. So you may say this rough-and-tumble rhetoric is horrible, and you'd expect nothing else from a machine like Chicago, and you'd be right. But frankly, I've done my homework. This is nothing new to American politics. Did you know that Thomas Jefferson himself once paid a writer to imply that John Adams was a hermaphrodite? Did you know that Davy Crockett accused Martin Van Buren of wearing women's underwear, writing that, quote, he was laced up in corsets such as women in town wear? That was Davy Crockett saying it about Martin Van Buren. I knew friends who went to Van Buren High School. Maybe it was true. And James Buchanan, who suffered from a congenital palsy that made his head tilt to the left, had to endure opponents who accused him, saying that he had tried to hang himself. So, okay, smear campaigns, nothing new in American politics. The magnitude of the smears and the power of David Axelrod's media company, you didn't know about that either, did you? David Axelrod's former media company. Well, you didn't know about that either because the New York Times didn't tell you. New York, WOR, Adam, welcome to the show. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael Savage, how do you do? It is a pleasure to talk. I've been listening to you for years, since like 2003 or something.
Look, okay.
I'm sorry, I had a frog in my throat. Look, I'm Jewish. I'm in the Army, 16 years, half of it active. I've had three mobilizations totaling 3.5 years. I have three teenage kids, a daughter in yeshiva and everything. Michael, I come from a family of red diaper doper babies.
I can believe it. You're like that actor from Hollywood who fears every member of the Tea Party is a Nazi.
Exactly. You know, when I talk to my family, I started coming about when I was in my teens, and for some reason out there, something wrong. Somehow, everyone in my family, Jewish liberals, look at the Democrat Party like it's a substitute for being Jewish. Or it's your ticket to heaven, just in case there is one. And in my own way, I started rebelling. You know, I'm going to find my own life. Mom, Dad, I decided to join the Navy after high school. And they, like, flipped. I said, no, you can't do that.
Wait, excuse me. The Israeli army is okay, but the American army is not okay to them?
Well, at the time, I joined the Navy, but the point is...
saying is the Israelis fighting for their country, they also hate that, too? Or that's a good army?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Well, I could explain it to you. It's a pathology, in my opinion, that goes back to the early waves of immigrants. Very similar to the waves of immigrants today who are told by the bosses, the machine bosses, who to vote for. You know what I'm saying? And then it got worse. Even though some of them became very wealthy and powerful, they still adhere to that early immigrant mentality going back to that period. And then again, the trauma of the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, where every member, everyone in New York of that particular group seems to think that they personally suffered from an evil boss who set the building on fire. Look, it's an illness. Unfortunately, you know it and I know it. I'm not saying anything that isn't true, because if it wasn't true, I wouldn't say it. It's my opinion. And every one of them is a radical leftist. How? They have nothing but money. They could burn money, and they act like they're the immigrant just came off a boat, or they just crawled across the Rio Grande. They themselves, and what the strangest part to me is, that guys like this choose to back the radical Muslim over America. Have you seen this over and over again? To them, every radical Muslim is a victim. They're the ones who say that the people at Guantanamo are victims of American imperialism. Adam, I'm sending you two free copies of Trickle Up Poverty. One for you and one for your father-in-law. I don't think two is enough. You'd probably need 200 copies. He's not here anymore? Okay. Okay, big question for the next hour, which is, Tup, how are the bookstores treating it? Two, what sleeping dogs should I let alone? Remember I told you Teddy bit me? What sleeping dog should be let to lie?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is that the Tea Party gets a charismatic leader because all they're selling is fear and anger.
Right.
And that's all Hitler sold. I'm angry and I'm frightened and you should hate that guy over there.
Right.
Blue Monday, how I eat Blue Monday.
You just heard the voice of a red diaper dopa baby from Hollywood and his cohort, a well-known fixture in the gutters of Sunset Boulevard, confirming that they fear that behind every white man there's a Nazi uniform. That's why we're playing Blue Monday, because it's Blue Monday for the Democrats. Now we have Obama on the road in Rhode Island, where the Democrat candidate, listen to this, Democrat candidate Frank Caprio, right? Here's a Democrat saying that Obama, who's in the state, can take his endorsement and shove it. Can you believe this? They're running away from this guy. Wait, it gets even better. Obama's now using racially charged rhetoric. Obama is now, I told you, the most divisive president in American history. Now that the mask is off Obama, what you really are seeing is that New Yorker cartoon that came out just before the election. Remember that one of him and Mrs. Obama and Michelle? Do you remember that picture where we thought he was this, when in fact he really wasn't? Guess what he really was? Here's what he said. He said, we can't have special interest sitting shotgun. We got to have middle-class families up in front. We don't mind the Republicans joining us. They can come for the ride, but they got to sit in the back. Can you believe this? Obama's saying Republicans have to sit in the back of the bus. If this is not a code word, if this is not symbolism of a despicable period in American history that he wants to turn the clock back now and put, what, white males in the back of the bus? He's doing a very good job of it. He's done a very good job of it, because when you say middle class, what do you think you're saying? Since the majority of Americans are of European ancestry, let's start with the big picture. To put it in simple language for those of you who can follow this, the rest I could care less. Since the majority of Americans are white and Christian, which is a demographic fact, then the majority of the middle class is white and Christian. Is that correct? Correct, right? So now he's saying the white Christians should go sit in the back of the bus now that he's the president. Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. Trickle-up poverty, stopping Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security. Now let's go into the heart of the matter. I've described in the past Obama's Marxist-Leninist roots, and I have a whole chapter on it. I'm not going to read it to you. Many of you have read it by now. The book has sold near 100,000 copies, I would assume, by now. It's been discussed by, let us say, 700,000 people. If you sell one book, it means two people have read it. So 200,000 Americans have read this book, I would guess, by now. They see for themselves what I'm talking about. But one of my main points is that the opposite of what you're being told is true. Obama has actually attacked the middle class, who he is now pretending to defend and support. You say, come on, how can you prove it? I can prove it. Take a look at the middle class. It's shrinking under Obama. It didn't get bigger. It got smaller. The proof is in the pudding. So you say, well, that's because of Bush. Bush gave us $1 trillion in debt. Yes, and this one raised it to $4 trillion. This one took $1 trillion and turned it into $4 trillion. Very smart economics. But I would expect nothing less from a college teacher who never created a product or service that anybody actually bought. I've met them all my life. I know these petty intellectuals. I know how they think. Anyone who makes a living is a crook. Anyone who makes a profit is evil. Every corporation that provides a service is somehow contaminating the environment. And then they go home and tenure job. That's all they want, the tenure job. Plenty of money for the war. Everything they justify. The trips for the boys into Thailand, you pay for it on a research project to look at how a Drosophila fly mates with another fly in Bangkok. And you're paying for the trip. And the side entertainment, you're paying for that too. You ever see some of the studies that your money has paid for from the perverts in the CDC and the universities today? You'd puke if you actually knew what they were doing with your money. Yes, science. You need more money for infrastructure. More money for hard science. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind if we got something for it. What have we gotten for it recently under Obama? Studies of how sex workers in Thailand, in male sex bars, are having sex when they're drunk. That's so they studied sex workers in Thailand, and I found out that when they get drunk, they have more sex with customers. I think you pay $200,000 for that study. That was also funded by the U.S. government. But let's put aside the trivia for the moment. Why is my premise correct when I say, or is my premise correct? I'll even open it up to discussion. I know most of you can't argue with me because you're a red diaper dopa baby. Your mind is addled. You don't know the facts. All you do is scream. My thesis is that Obama has, in fact, pointedly attacked the middle class. And the reason he has attacked and continues to attack the middle class, even though he's now pretending to be the middle class's greatest defender, is because he has been brainwashed from a very early age to hating the bourgeoisie, you know, the university crowd. The bourgeoisie, the very bourgeoisie that pays their tenured salary. The very bourgeoisie that went to work while they were smoking dope and running around in a nightclub. The very hateful bourgeoisie is the middle class. So they hate the middle class. They target the middle class. They destroy the middle class with taxes, regulations. You ever try to open a business in San Francisco? Have you tried to open a business in your hometown? Have you seen what these communists do? Have you tried to put an extension on your house? Have you seen what these communist bureaucrats do to you to put a small extension on your house? How many different layers of communist bureaucracy you have to go through and how many taxes you have to pay to put on a room? My friends, you don't even understand that that's communism. That's exactly what the communists do. These rules and regulations, the red tape and the taxation and the permits, it's communism. It's to keep a bureaucratic class fat and happy and make them bigger. That's an attack on the middle class. That's how it works. So he's attacked the bourgeoisie or the middle class, who has now awakened up to him, and they're reacting to him, and they're liable to lose. All the Democrats are liable to be thrown, a good percentage of them, and they're freaking out. And that's why they're thinking that anyone in a Tea Party is a Nazi, that behind every white male there's a Nazi uniform. That's the deepest fear of the red diaper doper baby, by the way. The RDDB fears that deeply. And now I want to go back to another question to you. the dog bites man. The man didn't bite the dog. I mean, if I had bitten Teddy, I wouldn't tell you about it. But it was shocking. I mean, he's barked once in a while, you know, when he's scared of it. But this was a shocker. I mean, like almost like The Shining. Nice, happy, friendly, loving guide dog. You know, my best friend turns him. One of those faces with the white eye and a snap on the hand. Luckily, I pulled it out. I only got the teeth marks on the hand. It happened last night. So I said, oh, my, this is crazy. And I mean, and I say to him, stop, stop. And he gets worse. He goes into fighting mode. I'm saying stop. And he goes in even worse. So I said, this is freaky. I have a choice. I could crack him or throw a blanket over him and wrap him up and, you know, take him out. And I said, wait a minute. I'll try some, like, you know, pacifist thing because I love this dog. And I left the room, turned off the lights, and I said, come. You know, naturally followed us out on pure behavioral habit. Then when he was out of the room, I said, now you can stay out, and locked him out. That's all. Then he was shocked that he had done it. But the point is that I was riding the bike this morning. I said, there's an adage, let sleeping dogs lie. So I said, what sleeping dog should I let lie? What is the message from the next world? And now I'm going to take your calls on this. Sacramento, Ron, welcome to the program. What sleeping dog should I let lie?
Dr. Savage, how are you today? I think the sleeping dog that might lie is the whole term of religion. And I'm not talking about a spiritual God, Christ, Messiah figure, because that's very important and it's very authentic and real. However, the bourgeoisie class of the spiritual class of rulers in America, there's definitely a level that those religionists need to be let.
But wait, you're confusing me by you saying that they're not really religionists. Who are you saying I should not provoke? What sleeping dog should I let lie?
I think you should let lie the established churches in America and stick to the.
When have you ever heard me attack the established churches?
I don't believe you have. I think that you're very aligned, spiritually speaking. That is, I don't believe that you need.
No, I never attack organized religion, but that's not the point. So, what is your point then?
Well, my point is that in America, we have that same bourgeoisie class of within the organized church, and that is the aspect that I'm saying we should let.
All right,
die.
But you never hear me going after the church the way that the Red Diaper Dopa Baby does, do you?
Nope, absolutely
no.
Not.
I mean, well, let's put it to you this way. Actually, there is a point of truth in what you're saying, because not 2 weeks ago I said that I'm disenamored of organized religion. I think it's a racket. I did say that. I said I believe in God. I think I can. For me, God exists. I believe in a hereafter, and I believe in trying to do as good as I can. But the fact is, I said I myself am not one for organized religion. I did say that. Is that what you're referring to?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you think that has provoked the corrupt ones within organized religion?
Do indeed. And I thought of, when you asked that question, I immediately thought of your story in your book about the fly and the tuna fish sandwich.
There's a lot of flies and a lot of tunas out there. There's no question. There's a lot of bad mayonnaise and a lot of tuna salads out there. All right, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. I'll be right back.
Savage.
+1 800-449-8255 is the phone number. No longer can you allow Barack Obama and the others in the Democrat Party to turn you into the sheeple that you've become. You can't let them steal the American dream. You can't let them trample on it and beat you to the ground. Now, why do I say that the naked Marxist canon must be stopped? Why do I say that Obama's trickle-up poverty is infecting all that we hold to be true and self-evident? Here's how. Because it's not just about money. He has impoverished the middle class through his taxation, the socialization of our healthcare system, and other legislative initiatives that are taking away our earnings and our power to choose how we live our lives, and putting it in the hands of corrupt and pro-socialist cohorts, such as the czars. He has erased or is trying to totally erase our border with Mexico. The Homeland Security Department, that can't shoot straight, is gutting the Constitution. in the name of protecting illegal aliens, when it should be focusing on keeping out the terrorists and illegals and drug dealers. Instead, it's attacking the people of the state of Arizona. The naked Marxist is defunding the military and putting our troops in harm's way. Obama's beatnik policy of taking apart our nuclear arsenal and destroying NASA while implementing PC rules of engagement that don't allow our troops to protect themselves is dangerously weakening our security and ending our military dominance. He has lined the pockets of his Wall Street buddies. While our 401ks suffer, Obama and his Wall Street heavy contributors are creating their own legislation that is driving down stock prices while allowing his biggest campaign contributors to make trillions of dollars. What about the media? Once a forum for free speech, Obama's administration has systematically overrun the media in a hostile takeover with threats and false promises that serve only to pull the wool over the sheeple's eyes. What about the Tea Party, who the psychos from Hollywood think is a front for the Nazi Party? The Tea Party is the voice of the people. No longer a representative government, Obama is blatantly disregarding and even suppressing the fastest-growing collective voice in the nation right now, that of the Patriotic Tea Party. His union crony purple shirts have shown up at town hall meetings and peaceful protests to intimidate and antagonize the democratic process. My listeners, we are dangerously close to losing the nation we love, but it is not too late. If you buy only one book before the election, please learn and react to what Obama the Destroyer has done and plans on doing to America before you vote. I rest my case. I have solutions, not just complaints. I have 37 solutions. This is the one treatise you're going to need to take on Obama's socialist agenda, his Chicago-style strong-arm tactics, and his Lenin-like complex. And I show you how we can save America from Obama's assault on the middle class. I realize that this is dangerous rhetoric. I understand that. But I love this country dearly. I'm the son of an immigrant. I was taught to love this nation above all other nations. I love this nation ever since I've been a Boy Scout. And I feel that we all have to stand up now, or there's going to be no chance to stand up tomorrow. I believe that America's future hangs like a loose tooth. I don't even know if there's a dentist in the house who can save us from this man and his minions. I tried to tell you before about the fake tea parties that they're creating, but I didn't disclose this to you yet. He has an operative, an advisor so-called, named David Axelrod. You know, the kind of mild-mannered guy with the mustache, the nice guy. Who is that man? Well, old David Axelrod had an advertising firm called AKPD Media. Did you know about that? Did you know that AKPD Media received $24 million of the advertising money for Obamacare? Did you know that? The contract to produce and place ads for Obamacare went to White House senior advisor David Axelrod's former firm, AKPD, which owed Axelrod $2 million. What about Rahm Emanuel, old Rahm? Well, Rahm was in Hollywood over the weekend raising money in the very same houses in Beverly Hills that raised the initial money for Obama, the same Marxist billionaires in Hollywood who put Obama up on the national scene, were raising money for Rahm Emanuel. And he put out a video called Glad to Be Home for the Schmucks in Chicago. Take a guess where the video of him glad to be home was shot. The video of Rahm Emanuel saying, I'm glad to be home in Chicago, was actually filmed in Washington, D.C., in the offices of, you guessed it, AKPD Media, the firm founded by none other than Axelrod, David Axelrod. So he launches his campaign for mayor of Chicago with a YouTube video in which he says, I was born here, and my wife Amy and I raised our three children here. I'm glad to be home. And it was not even filmed in Chicago. My God, ladies and gentlemen, does it get any stupider than this? How stupid are the American people? How can the sheeple not see what's going on?
Savage.
Nationally, if they win this election, the chair of the Republican Campaign Committee promised to pursue the exact same agenda.
I never asked for President Obama's endorsement. You know, he could take his endorsement and really shove it, as far as I'm concerned.
That's the Democratic candidate for Rhode Island governor who just said Obama can shove it for not endorsing him. That's amazing. The Democratic candidate for Rhode Island governor, widely seen as more conservative than the independent seeking to lead the heavily Democratic state, said Monday that President Obama can shove it after learning Obama would not endorse him. Frank Caprio campaign said last week that he would welcome the president's endorsement. But on Monday, the same day Obama made his first visit to Rhode Island, Caprio angrily told WPRO-AM that Obama can take his endorsement and shove it. That's amazing. So the Democrats who are in power are turning their back on the president. They know that he's the third rail now of the election. And the only people supporting Obama and wanting him to support them are the Kool-Aid drinkers like Barbara Boxer, you know, the regulars, Kennedy, Patrick Kennedy. But the fact of the matter is they're seeing that the man is toxic because the voters have turned from the president and then the party itself, because the stench from Washington, the swamp, the stench, the swamp gas coming out of Nancy Pelosi's house is so vile that the people are holding their noses until Election Day. Florida Don, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to speak to you. You ask about let sleeping dogs lie.
Yes, sir.
One of your dogs that you need to lie is Great Britain. First it was Greece, then France, and now we got Great Britain right out the window.
What do you mean first Greece and France? I should let Britain lie in what way?
Well, in what way is just let it lie still for right now, because they made their bed, they're gonna cook in it.
Well, when you say let them lie, you know I'm banned from entering Britain, so I have no effect on their politics. I've spent a small fortune trying to get my name off the list of murderers and terrorists. Not one major media figure has even noted the case. Yet a 10th-rate leftist on NPR gets fired, and suddenly he's a martyr. Go figure that one out.
Oh, I know that. But my point to you is we need to make sure that your voice is heard in the USA. Great Britain is...
Oh, I have nothing to do with Great Britain. I can't go there. And I really do have something to say about Great Britain, actually. It's just funny you should mention it, but I'm going to do the exact opposite. I'm glad you reminded me of a story I found today about how General Electric's president, David Immelt, is actually... Jeffrey Immelt is actually manipulating Britain's immigration policy. Did you hear about this story?
No, I did not.
Yeah, well, you see, just exactly what you told me not to do, I'm going to do. But first, I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty to show you what a nice guy I am. Okay, so you have a coalition government in Britain, and the coalition government says that they're going to crack down on immigrants because the people are screaming, enough is enough. We don't want them here anymore. They're flooding our nation. They're robbing us blind. They're all on welfare. Most of the crime is conducted by immigrants. We know what's going on in England. The people are screaming, and they're being suppressed by the BBC. So there's a new coalition government, and they throw a bone to the people, and they say that they're going to have a cap on immigrants, right? He turns around today, the Prime Minister of England, and says he just met with Jeffrey Immelt, the CEO of General Electric, and GE complained about the immigration cap because they want more cheap labor to come in primarily from India. And consequently, the new head of the British government, David Cameron, says, I'll tell you what, we're gonna go to the new Prime Minister of England, who is Jeffrey Immelt of GE, because I'm just a stooge for the corporate interests, basically. And what we're going to do is we're going to reverse everything we just said we would do. And Migration Watch UK, which watches the flood of immigrants coming in, said that the trade deal could blast the hole in Britain's immigration controls. Did you hear this? Sir Andrew Green of Migration Watch said it looks as though the Indians are about to drive a bullock and cart through Britain's immigration system, despite government talk about creating jobs in the private sector. There is no point in a limit on economic migration if specialists from India are excluded from the cap by a separate agreement. End of story. So here's an example of how Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric, the same holding company that has given us the distinguished journalists of MSNBC and of NBC Nightly News, you know, the very trustworthy individuals on those channels, the very same Jeffrey Immelt who has given us these distinguished channels of news and information, is now over there telling England to have no immigration cap because they need more cheap workers from India to service the General Electric bottom line. So I'm glad that I was able to leave Britain alone for a moment on the Savage Nation. As you can see, I always put my own self-interests first. New York City, WOR. Bernie, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Hi, Michael. When Teddy bit you, you were being sent a message, but I wouldn't say it was "let sleeping dogs lie." When Teddy bit you, it was a total surprise and a shock. It came out of nowhere. And the way I interpret this is if Mr. Obama really feels after the upcoming election that his back is against the wall, don't be surprised if this guy comes up with some cockamamie excuse to declare martial law. Or, you know, we knew he was capable of certain things, but I think he's going to go over the edge. And I think this is kind of...
I do, too. I think he's getting increasingly defensive and almost paranoid. In the shrillness coming out of Obama now, I believe that the paranoia is starting to show underneath the surface.
Absolutely. You're right. And that's the message. And you're sharing it with the Savage Nation.
On the air today and say that's the sleeping dog we should fear?
In other words, you weren't really harassing your dog. I mean, it came out of nowhere, and it was a surprise. Now, we know what Obama's M.O. is, but, you know, we never thought that a lot of people never think he would do something drastic like shut down the government. This guy's capable of it.
No, I agree. Now, what we're going to do to prove that what you're saying is not paranoia and not right-wing hysteria, we're going to play the private army thing that Obama is famous for all over the internet. Everyone knows this. This is what he just might do. He might arm the Black Panthers, or he might arm some other unappointed elements of the government that are in place right now to control the population the way the brown shirts were used by a certain Austrian in the last century. Let's play that clip.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Any police officer listening to that, any member of the military listening to that, should know what he just said. He has just said he wants to have a special force that is appointed only by him, that answers only to him, that is not approved by anyone else, that's just as well-funded as the U.S. military. In other words, a private army along the lines of every dictatorship in history. Now, this was said during the campaign. We tried to warn you idiots. We tried to tell you who he was. And you called us every name under the sun. You did not understand that we had the best interests of America at heart when we were trying to warn you about Obama. I've said it over and over again. I'm not opposed to a Democrat just because they're a Democrat. I could handle a fiscally conservative Democrat and take what I could get from them. But what you have here is almost a triple witching with Obama. You have a fiscally socialist and a fiscally social and a anti-military or anti-national security, almost an anti-American president. When I say almost anti-American, that's an understatement. If you actually look at his track record, he's clearly anti-American rather than un-American. There's a big difference between un-American and anti-American. Obama is, by every definition, in my book, anti-American. He wants to scrap our nuclear advantage against Russia. He said so. I have the data in my book. I remember those speeches. I am your eyes and ears. I have done the work that you count on me to do. I actually listened to speeches, and I recorded them over the whole period of these years. Every time he made a policy statement that alarmed me, I recorded it. I kept it. I documented it. I memorialized it. I put it into trickle-up poverty. Do you know that your president wants to destroy NASA? The greatest space program in the history of the world, the man is working to destroy. You don't know that because your friends in the media don't want you to know what he's doing. And you say, well, why is he doing that? Well, on the surface, he's saying he's doing it to save money so that we can have more money for social programs and help the middle class. And we got to cut back somewhere, and that those cuts have to be in the military and in NASA, because we don't really need to go to the moon. But at the same time, he's cutting back on NASA. He's actually buying tickets for our astronauts on a Russian space shuttle. Do you understand what I just said to you? Not only is it a double humiliation, it's a national security disaster. I received an email over the weekend from a congressman who I greatly admire in Texas, because I don't have a congressman in California. Although I live here, my congressman is right now in Texas, and my senator is in Georgia. It's a very interesting phenomenon. And he invited me to the Kennedy Space Center on November 1st to watch what he says may be America's last rocket into space. I said, are you kidding? He said, no, it may be the second to last rocket that we send off into space. He said, and you're invited to see it. I don't think I can be there. I don't know. Maybe I'll be there. Maybe I won't. I doubt if I can make it. But I thought about it. 1957, I believe it was Sputnik. I was a first-year college student, I believe. And we were all shocked when Russia launched an astronaut into space. We were just stunned that Russia had gotten so far ahead of us. And that was a direct result of the communist spies in the American government. I can name them one after the other. I can go right back to Oppenheimer. I can name three of them who stabbed America in the back and shared our atomic secrets with Russia. It's a well-established, these are well-established facts. I'm not inventing them for the point of rhetoric. So we're shocked to find out that the spies in America had shared so much of our advanced technology with Russia even then, that they were able to beat us with a man into space. And there was a great push for a space program. And boy, did we succeed. What a great group of geniuses. Every time I watched a space launch and I'd see the engineers behind the controls at Houston, I mean, I had such a sense of pride in being an American. I felt this was a great country. I felt that we were on top of our game. I saw all of those bright minds sitting behind the controls, and I felt that we were a great country. Now I wake up at this phase of my life, and I see a meddler-in-chief who is taking apart the greatest space agency the world has ever seen, NASA. And I say, Obama the Destroyer is like a mischievous child who takes apart one watch after another and can't put them back together again. That's Obama the Destroyer. Read about it. I'll be back.
Savage.
I'm a member of the American media, okay? Let's be very clear. I'm a commentator. It's an opinion show. It's not the news. I take the news, and I give it to you the way I see it, and I tell you how I think it is from my perspective. The son of an immigrant, hard worker, still working, could have retired, didn't retire, still loves the game, knocks one out of the park like Babe Ruth and walks around the bases. Never thought, I didn't know if I could do it anymore, but I did it, and thanks to you, I did it. But you know what? There's a message in this. And the message is, you take a guy like Jimmy Carter, former president, the media loves him because he's one of their fellow travelers, lifetime left-wing lobby, wobbly. His book can't get out of the starting gate. The guy schleps from one bookstore to another, has a collapse on an airplane from exhaustion 2 weeks ago, back on the plane again, peddling the book. Desperate, and it goes nowhere. And here's this guy from the Bronx, no family money, no connections, one radio show, banned in Britain, banned on Fox News, the underdog, Michael Savage underdog. I'm the underdog, remember that. Don't mix yourself up. I'm no overdog. I'm an outcast, and I'm an underdog. Now, I say to myself, so what's the phenomenon? How is it that without the support of the media, I can knock one out of the park? How did this happen? I'm almost stunned by it myself. Jimmy Carter's book can't get out of the starting gate, and mine, I blew it out of the park. The people are just crazy. They're going for the bookstores. They're demanding it. It's like the Cubans in the voting in 2000. They want the book. Don't hide the book. I want to see trickle-up poverty. You know, they're getting angry. They're getting angrier and angrier when they see what's being done to the underdog, Michael Savage, because I represent, I think, for them, I represent them. I'm this voice that represents the people who feel voiceless, and I have for many years. I just really didn't know that the audience was still so phenomenally loyal to me and so pent up with desire. I got to tell you the truth. It shocks me. Shock is the wrong word. It pleasantly surprises me. I mean, there's different words I could use. But this is something I didn't know could still happen. I'd hoped it could still happen. I dreamed it could still happen. And that it happened without one interview on Fox News. And I keep saying Fox because you'd expect Katie Korva and the others at ABC, CBS, and NBC. You'd expect these left-wing idiots to not want to show me. I understand that. Or the cable or anything. But you'd figure Fox News, they cover the conservative. And what's even more bizarre, ladies and gentlemen, is that my publisher, I have to tell you this. I mean, I believe in, what's the word they call it today? A new word for everything, transparency. I believe in giving you the lowdown. Okay, everything is a new word. Nothing is what it is. Everything, transparency. Like they discovered truth as opposed to lies. I believe in transparency. So my publisher is owned by the same corporation that owns Fox News. And yet, Leprechaun has such power at Fox News that he apparently terrorizes the girls. And even if some of the girls that they use, you know, with the skirts and the lipstick to get you to keep watching because you can't help yourself. Some of them are very intelligent. Nevertheless, they can't help that they're cursed with beauty. But nevertheless, even the lipstick girls who would like to have me on are forbidden because of the czar who runs the Westies at Fox News. It's amazing. But even without them, the book is taking off like crazy. I just don't understand how you can't see what's going on in this situation. Carter, owned by the media, loves him, can't get out of the starting gate. Savage, completely banned, like he doesn't exist. Like last year, you had the guy Juan Williams. Nah, nice guy, I'm sure I'd like him for, you know, me. I have nothing against him. Never really particularly of any interest to me because I listened a few times. I knew he had nothing, you know, blah, blah, blah. He was like a token liberal that they had on Fox News. Never really the brightest of liberals. There are bright liberals. He's not one of them. Let's put it to you that way. But he schlepped along. He was saying, oh, what do you think? Nothing exciting. All of a sudden, the czarina at NPR, what did I call her earlier today with the nails? I said something, Babel. Did you write it down? It was very good. I forgot it. You should have recorded it. The czarina at NPR fires him for making a rather tepid comment about how Muslims scare him. All of a sudden, he's the martyr du jour. He's given a new contract, and now he's the Pulitzer of our time all of a sudden. They can't get enough of him, the martyr, marching around, a genius, overnight genius, an overnight success. It's like Jersey Shore to me. Juan Williams is the Jersey Shore of Fox News, as far as I could tell. But nevertheless, there's a cycle to all of this phenomenon, and I don't know how this ends. I've never seen anything like this. Don't you see the hypocrisy of people on Fox News saying, why, it's a double standard to fire Juan Williams. It's the very same people who don't see that it's a double standard, not to mention that Michael Savage was banned in Britain. Look, I'm not bellyaching to you. I'm not complaining anymore. I hope you understand the difference. I'm using it to make a point. I don't really care whether they have me on or not. I've done it without him, so thank God. And so what I'm saying is, can't you see the naked hypocrisy in all of this in the media? How the mainstream media, and I have to include Fox News, I'm sorry. They are the mainstream media. They like to position themselves as not. They're the mainstream media. And yet they make believe they're not the mainstream media. They do a very good job, by and large, but they're just as biased, just as self-interested as all the other apparatchiks and operatives in the media. Don't kid yourself. It's one hand washes the other, as you can see. So we come back full circle. We come back to this phenomenon. Jimmy Carter, former president, schlepping a book, can't sell it. I can predict right now Bush's book, you know where it's going to go? Nowhere. Who in the world cares about George Bush's memoirs? Tell me, are you really interested in that? No. But why are you buying Trickle Up Poverty? What is it about this book that touched America's heart? Stopping Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security, you think that did it? You think? Perhaps? The truth did it? Does the truth still sell? Ask me, I'll tell you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome tremendous news today. Where shall we begin? Well, dirty tricks, does that work for you? How about examples of Democrat dirty tricks in this election? We have about, 15 examples? How about the New York Times? Even the New York Times is reporting that the Democrats are backing fake Tea Party candidates. Can you believe this? Yeah, well, you better believe it, because this is the way David Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel and Bill Ayers handle a candidate. This is how they handle Obama, their front man. The worst award for the worst ad may go to a group called Latinos for Reform. It targets Hispanics in Nevada, complaining of Democrats' broken promises. But the ad urges Hispanics in both English and Spanish to stay home on election day. Don't vote this November. This is the only way to send them a clear message. You can no longer take us for granted. Don't vote. That's an attempt to make sure Hispanics don't vote for Republicans. And even Hispanic pressure groups are blasting the ad by Democrats as a blatant attempt at voter suppression. Isn't that interesting? Well, read all about your friends, the Democrats, and their filthy, dirty communist tricks in this election cycle on michaelsavage.com. This is amazing stuff, certainly worth looking at. Speaking of liars, back in 2007 when Pelosi grabbed the gavel, we have her on tape saying that the 110th Congress will hold itself to a higher standard, pay as you go, no new deficit spending. Liar, liar, skirts on fire. It's unbelievable to me how these people get away with it. And speaking of liars, the U.S. did find WMDs in Iraq. That's right, the new WikiLeaks stuff that came out, which was supposed to condemn the U.S. military and condemn George Bush, it turns out proves that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq after all. Read it on michaelsavage.com, and you'll see that what goes around comes around. Speaking of liars, you're not going to believe this, because I'm going to tell it to you. The fact of the matter is, Obama has a handler named David Axelrod. David Axelrod is who? You say, well, who is he? Everyone has, you know, a chief of staff. Everyone has an advisor. David Axelrod worked for a firm called AKPD Media. I guess the A stands for Axelrod, right? Well, guess where some of Obama's TV money went? AKPD Media. It's come out today that the commercials that are being produced for some candidates are produced by Obama advisor David Axelrod's, quote, old firm, AKPD Media. But there's more. Two groups, Jim Messina and John Celeb, chief of staff to Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus, you hear those two, are involved with groups that are lobbying. And the two groups spent $24 million on their advertising campaigns. Guess where the contract to produce and place the ads went? Why, they went to White House senior advisor David Axelrod's former firm, AKPD. Like that? Here's another one. Rahm Emanuel's I'm Glad to Be Home video about Chicago was actually shot in Washington, D.C. Did you know that? In the offices of AKPD Media, the firm founded by David Axelrod. Beowulf, isn't that interesting, all of this stuff?
Interesting. Good old Chicago-style politics at work again.
I was watching a show on TV last night that was astounding. It was one of the most astounding documentaries I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, this is the genius of television. It was a documentary about the son of Pablo Escobar, the former cocaine kingpin of Colombia. I could not believe what I was watching. Here is a man who is about 40 years old now, who was a child. And remember, the son of Pablo Escobar is living in exile in Argentina. And he's telling his whole story of how he lived as a kid. The point of this documentary is that he sends a letter to the grown sons of men who had been assassinated by his father's murderers as they were about to take over Colombia and save it from the drug cartels. Pablo Escobar had them murdered in cold blood, shot to death, killed, you know, butchered. And it showed the kids then and the men that they are now. And the documentary moves forward to Pablo Escobar's son, who actually still is amazing how he looks like him, but he's a pacifist, a total pacifist. And the other boys, these other Colombian guys, are now 40-year-old men, really sweet, beautiful men, and they sit down together at the end of the documentary, and they read the letter that Pablo Escobar's son sent to them, and you hear them talking to each other in the camera, and they say, this is a very, very brave thing that he did. He's asking their forgiveness for killing, for his father having killed their father. Because one of them says, when my father was killed at 8 years of age, I swore vengeance. I swore I would kill those who killed my father. And he said, now I'm a man. He said, time has healed all wounds. But he said, I can see it's not even healed. It's not healed his wounds. He's still hurting. So let's meet with him. And they sit down and they have a conversation. I watch something and I learn something. I learned that America is still the greatest country on earth. We have not yet descended to that animalistic third world level. We've not descended to the level of brutality and murder between and against politicians, thank God. We have not yet descended where a voice of opposition can be resented and hated even, but not destroyed. We still live in the greatest country on earth. I pray to God that we survive Barack Obama. That's all I can say. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There are a few states who have recognized the danger of Muslim Sharia law, and they're trying to do something about it. To speak with us about this is President of Act for America, Brigitte Gabriel. Brigitte, what do you think they're going to do about this?
Yes, Michael, we are very concerned about Sharia spreading through the United States, and the state of Oklahoma, actually, has a state question 755 on the ballot. It went to referendum this election, which will prohibit Oklahoma courts from using Islamic Sharia law when deciding cases. Sharia, as you know, is an oppressive, discriminatory law system that treats women as second-class citizens, prohibits freedom of religion, and suppresses freedom of speech. This resolution, Michael, does not interfere with Muslims practicing their religion. But we must realize that there is a major campaign in Europe to impose Sharia law, and Sharia is beginning to be cited in a few U.S. courts. And it is completely incompatible with our Constitution. This is exactly why, we worked with State Representative Rex Duncan, who actually presented this resolution, and we decided, you know, it is time to invest in the state of Oklahoma to educate the citizens of Oklahoma, one, about the threat of Sharia law, what it is, what it encompasses. Most people do not know what Sharia law is all about. And second, to make sure that citizens, when they go to the voting booth and are faced with that question, will know exactly how to answer that question, and the answer will be yes, in support of the courts in Oklahoma to prohibit the use of Sharia law in their
country. Well, you know, there are those with their head in the sand who say Sharia law is never going to come to America, and that you're merely stirring up hatred.
Well, it is already in America, Michael. Listen, the first Sharia law, the first Sharia court was established in Richardson, Texas in the 90s. Now, you cannot get any more yee-haw than the state of Texas. You talk about God, country, and USA. But in Texas, because most Americans were not paying attention to or even cared about what Sharia law was all about back in the 90s, this is before September 11th, people were not paying attention. But today, 9 years after September 11th, we must start paying attention, because if what's happening in Europe right now, Michael, is any preview as to what is coming to the United States, we better get our head out of the sand and start understanding what's coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, as I'm speaking to you right now, there are 85 Sharia courts operating parallel to British courts in Britain right now. I am sure British people back then in the 1970s and 1980s, when they opened the flood of immigration to these Muslim workers who came to live and work in Britain, they never thought that in the 21st century, they're going to have 85 courts operating parallel to British courts operating under Sharia law.
Oh, my God.
This is why we in the United States are doing this movement, this organized resistance, to make sure we send a very strong message to Muslims living within our country, as well as the state of Oklahoma, that you are welcome to come to the United States. You are welcome to immigrate here. You are welcome to worship whatever God you worship. You're welcome to build a mosque. Our Constitution defends your right to do so. But when you come to the United States, you have to live by our Constitution and under our laws. We are a Judeo-Christian society based on Judeo-Christian value system. We value our women. They are not considered second-class citizens. And this is why we have these laws in our country. If you do not wish to live under the Constitution of the United States as the highest law of the land, maybe they should consider immigrating to another country where Sharia law is practiced. And this is why we are so adamant and fighting this law and making sure that in Oklahoma we make a big splash and we wake up Oklahomans as well as our enemy who is watching to let them know we are not Europe and we're not going to sit on the sidelines and allow them to do that in the United States.
Well, there's a real debate going on in this nation about political conformity and Islam. How far has this political conformity gone?
Don't let me get started on political correctness, Michael. You know exactly where you and I stand on this issue. I believe political correctness needs to be thrown in the garbage where it belongs. Talk about political correctness. Here's our beef with Islamic radicalism infiltrating our country. And I'm not going to talk about the military aspect of things. We already know that these people want to attack us militarily. But who would have thought in America that in the 21st century, we're going to have an American judge in an American courtroom decide in a court case when a woman goes to him saying, I want a restraining order against my husband, who is repeatedly raping me up to 4 times a day, beating and torturing me, that the judge would tell her that her husband is not committing a crime because it is within his religious law, Sharia law, that he does not believe this is a crime. The judge in America forced this woman in New Jersey to live under her husband being tortured and raped for a year before the court, the appeal court, overruled the judgment, reversed the judgment.
This is unbelievable to me.
One case like this in America is too many. We have become a society that is so politically correct and sensitive not to offend any Muslims in this country that we have an American judge in New Jersey telling a woman that she can be repeatedly raped because her husband was a Muslim and he is operating within his law system. Nobody wanted to offend the Muslims in this country. We need to discuss what Islamic law is all about. Islamic law approves the rape of women. Islamic law approves the beating of women. Islamic law believes a woman is worth half of that of a man. Islamic believes a woman must inherit half that of her brother if her father dies. This is not what we have in the United States. And also about political correctness. Political correctness is run amok so much in our country and in our military and our government, Michael. In the last 2 years since our book, They Must Be Stopped, came out, I was stopped from speaking at the Air Force Academy in Colorado. I was to speak to 7,000 cadets and leaders graduating from the academy in a leadership program. I was canceled after I was invited to speak.
What? Why?
Because the Muslim groups on campus at the academy threw a hissy fit because someone like me is coming to educate the cadets about what radical Islam is all about. So 7,000 people were robbed from hearing the truth because the Muslims were sensitive about this and they did not want me. I was supposed to speak at the FBI Academy in Quantico to a 100 class of graduates agents who are graduating. My lecture was canceled because one student was an exchange officer from Yemen attending the class, and the FBI was worried that that Yemeni Muslim attending the classes at the FBI is going to go back to his country, complain to his country about what is being taught at the FBI. Therefore, we canceled my lecture at the FBI.
Unbelievable.
The same thing happened at the Norfolk Naval Base Academy. And you wonder why we in America can have a situation like the Fort Hood massacre. It is because our elected officials and the top brass in our military have lost their spine and their tongue to political correctness. And I agree, this is the time where we need to discuss this issue. We need to throw political correctness in the garbage where it belongs.
How can we wake up this government? Or is it that the government is owned by the Sharia people?
Organized resistance. See, in Europe, they did not have organized resistance. The Europeans went about their ways, not paying attention to the Islamic infiltration of their country. When the Muslims grew, when the Muslims started organizing, the Europeans said, oh, you know, that's just a little radical minority. We don't really care. All of a sudden, they are waking up in Europe, all over Europe right now. Crime rate is on the rise. Rape is on the rise. Theft is on the rise. Islamic Sharia law is operating in many communities. In France alone, there are 755 no-go zones. This is why we in America, through Act for America, my organization, are organizing organized resistance. We are teaching our members and giving them tools how to be active and mobilized in their own community by putting pressure on their elected officials, by conducting informational meetings in their community and educating their community, by notifying them when there are bills presented on Capitol Hill coming down for a vote so they can be a voice affecting their community and our nation. And this is why I urge our listeners who are listening to please go to actforamerica.org and sign up to receive our vital and critical email alerts. We want to be able to reach you when there is something important we need to notify you on so you can be a voice affecting your community and our nation. And, Michael, we did not name the organization Think About America. We didn't name our organization Hope for America. We didn't name our organization Wish for America. We named our organization Act for America. Because those of you listening right now, if you don't take action after listening to this interview, you might as well have been watching Dancing with the Stars. Actions is what makes things happen. We are building the NRA of national security, creating barriers in every state and every community to stop the radical Islam from infiltrating our communities.
Thanks for the update, Brigitte.
Michael, it is always a pleasure being with you, my friend.
As I've said before, now is not the time to be politically conformist. As I've written in Trickle Up Poverty, our very survival as a nation is under attack.
Savage.
There's much more to come out. Here's something that's completely off the wall, but it's all part of the government media complex cover-up. ABC News is reporting that oral sex is linked to a rise in men's throat cancer. I know it's disgusting, right? But the fact of the matter is that the epidemiological risk factors for throat cancer are not only sexual partners of the same sex and oral sex, but marijuana exposure. Can you believe this, Beowulf?
Jeez. That's the Clinton legacy for you.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Each year, more than 30,000 new cases of cancer of the oral cavity and pharynx are diagnosed. And where is this new spike coming from? Mainly amongst men having oral sex with other men. So, in other words, what can I tell you, Beowulf? They're hiding this. They're hiding it from the children, and the children are dying.
Sickening.
There's also an alarming study that Islam in the East, that would be Indonesia and parts of Asia, okay, those areas, they're actually distributing Hitler's Mein Kampf into Bahasa Indonesia, the official language of Indonesia, Beowulf. They're translating Hitler's Mein Kampf into Bahasa Indonesia, the official language of Indonesia. Can you believe this? That new postmodern Islam is now promulgating Hitler's documents of lies?
And yet these are the areas that they told us were not extreme, were more moderate in terms of the religion that they
practiced. A relentless push for world domination centered in Mecca that churns out zombie slaves and corpses. And we're supposed to turn the other cheek. And speaking of the sadness of our country with the most powerful, impotent military in the history of the world, again, ragtag Somali Muslim pirates seized a German freight ship off the coast of Kenya on Sunday. That's the second ship in several days. And what do? Nothing. What better symbol is there for the weakness of the West, right? The pirates are operating under EU-UN rules, which give them a license to do any damn thing they wish. The solution, of course, is the nations, such as ours, to annihilate them, exterminate them off the planet. If you killed boatloads of pirates and blew up their boats, this kind of piracy would end, wouldn't you say?
That's right. That's what the U.S. Navy was created for, to attack the Barbary pirates. It's history repeating itself.
Well, here we go again. Weakness. Weakness, 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 weakness. And I don't mean Preakness. Speaking of weakness, the top 25 daily newspapers are all showing drastic reductions in circulation, except the Wall Street Journal, which went up 1.82%. USA Today down 4%. New York Times down 5.5%. LA Times minus 9. Wash Post minus 6.5. New York Daily News minus 5.6. New York Post down up 1.3. San Jose Jerkini News down. Chicago Trib down 5%. Houston Chronicle down 10.5. Philly Inquirer 5 down. Newsday 11, almost 12% down after a decades of supporting every welfare tax raising program in history. The people are not reading these garbage liners anymore. San Francisco Chronicle down 11.21%, and on and on and on. Seattle Times down. Chicago Sun Times. Detroit Free Press down and down and down. Finally, the American people have turned to talk radio and the internet for the truth. Speaking of that, Beowulf, my book, Trickle Up Poverty, is doing just great. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Apparently, even without the newspapers, the people have heard about this, huh? How do you like that?
Yeah, sounds like you wouldn't want the newspapers these days, but that's fantastic news, Michael.
Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan and what's going on in the White House, but with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. We've been talking about the firing of the lone black male commentator on NPR. Now listen to Muslim Congressman Keith Ellison's opinion on it.
It's just an ugly, bigoted statement.
Ugly and bigoted?
Juan Williams has taken a bat to all of the work he ever did around civil rights, you know, with Eyes on the Prize and things like that. I feel like taking that stuff off my shelf and putting it in the garbage because I just really feel he has dishonored
Because the commentator on NPR made a simple observation that is being taken out of context by this hateful Muslim congressman.
It's really an ugly thing. I think it's un-American what Juan Williams said. And I think that NPR is well within its rights to make a decision that his perspective is not one that is down the middle.
It's very much down the middle.
And calls the facts like they really are and provides this good news service to the
American
people.
What's very un-American is what NPR did and what Keith Ellison is doing. That's un-American. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that certain pressure groups were behind the firing of the NPR commentator. He is communications propaganda chief for a radical group on NPR addressing Muslim concerns.
We're pleased that the network addressed Muslim concerns. It was really up to them what to do in response to this. And I think everyone is recognizing now that perhaps it wasn't a good fit between the network and Mr. Williams.
Why is that? Why is that? Because you're not allowed to express your honest opinions?
No, because he had views on a number of issues that didn't reflect the viewpoint of the station. I mean, it's quite obvious. If you're going to interrupt...
You've got to stop this for a minute. They say that this commentator doesn't represent the honest views of NPR? Oh, you mean he doesn't toe the party line? Okay, play it again.
He had views on a number of issues that didn't reflect the viewpoint of the station. I mean, it's quite obvious.
What?
If you're going to interrupt me every time I make a sentence, you know, it's not going to work.
C-A-I-R means he wasn't sufficiently submissive to Muslims and Islam. Still trying to clarify his views?
I just want to clarify, which is you're saying the views of the station. What are those views?
Oh, go on.
He was increasingly leaning towards the right, and the NPR obviously has a more liberal viewpoint, and there wasn't a good fit there, so perhaps this was the breaking point.
So you're not really, I mean, your perception is you're really not welcome on NPR if you have any views that are less than liberal.
Yeah, evil right-wing views.
I'm not here representing NPR. They can represent themselves quite well.
To be on Soviet People's Radio, SPR, you must have that mental disorder called liberalism. Here is another left-wing fanatic from Hollywood. Listen.
My fear is that the Tea Party gets a charismatic leader because all they're selling is fear and anger.
Right.
And that's all Hitler sold.
Hitler?
I'm angry and...
Repeat that, you moron.
Hitler sold.
Can you believe this?
I'm angry and I'm frightened and you should hate that guy over there.
Right.
And that's what they're doing.
There's only one person in this country following that ideologue, and he and his czars happen to be living in the White House. So, seven cars he took. The guy with the big ears, the lunatic, the goon, the goofball, Prince Charles. He needed 7 railroad cars for him and his buddies to take a ride about green things and windmills, green turbines. Have you heard about people who live near the turbines in Maine? They're going crazy, all the lefties. I love it. You talk about justice. All the schmucks from New York who bought properties in Vermont and Maine to get away from the other people like themselves in New York who they hated. The very people who acted like them, they ran from. So they went up to Vermont and polluted the nation of Vermont by electing a communist. Then some of them hated the people in Vermont, so they moved to Maine to get away from the people they fled from in Vermont, who they were fleeing from in New York. So I'll really show them I'll move away. I'll move to Vermont. I'll move to Maine. They go to Maine now, and they're all greens. They're into green. They hate carbon all of a sudden. I mean, they grew up on carbon dioxide water called seltzer. They sat around the table. The father or the uncle was a commie from the ILGWU who lectured them about how evil America was, how the union was the survival. And no good in carbon. Now all of a sudden they're drinking carbon their entire childhood. So they have a carbon overdose from the seltzer. So they're anti-carbon. They don't even know what carbon is. It's the structural element of every living thing on the earth. But they all you tell, carbon's no good. Morons. I mean, scientific morons. It's the building block of all life on earth is carbon. But you ask the average illiterate moron liberal, carbon dioxide is ruining the planet. So the schmucks move to Vermont, and they go into green technology. They want green, everything green. green, grow. All right, so the green shysters come up with wind turbines, which they put on hills and in bays and in tidal areas with their surges and winds. And guess what? All night long, they hear the wind turbines. Every time a breeze comes on, the wind turbine clicks on, ooh, and wakes up the New York liberal who fled to Vermont and Maine to get away from the pollution and the noise. So now it's kicking them in the behind because the wind turbine is disturbing their soliloquy. You hear this? It's unbelievable. God sees the truth but waits. If you live long enough, you get to actually have satisfaction in watching it all, how it all emerges. It's unbelievable. You heard about Not in My Backyard. Well, this is directly how Not in My Backyard. All of the green turbine people, now they're complaining now about wind turbines are disturbing them in Maine. You hear this? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Speaking of the news, here's a little more news. You know David Cameron, the Prime Minister of England?
Oh, the genius conservative in Britain?
Yes. He has yielded to General Electric's CEO, Jeffrey Immelt. Jeffrey Immelt has said, you cannot control immigration. You can't block any more immigration. We need them to come in. And so Cameron is going to now backtrack and water down his planned immigration cap, telling British firms he will not prevent them from bringing in high-skilled workers from India and elsewhere. Can you believe this?
Jesus.
And Migration Watch UK, a pressure group, said that the trade deal could blast a hole in Britain's immigration controls. So General Electric now is controlling Britain's immigration policy, destroying what David Cameron promised he would do.
Prime Minister Jeffrey Immelt, I guess.
Gee, it's awful, isn't it? Man fired for wearing Bush sweatshirt at Obama rally. I don't know what that means, but so these are some of the stories. We know the story about NPR last week, that sad story. And the way I'm playing it on the Savage Nation is that the Muslims trump blacks in the playbook of liberal victimhood. What did I just say? Well, what I just said was Muslims trump blacks now in the playbook of liberal victimhood. Why? Well, what just happened? There was one on-air black male reporter on NPR. And he was fired in order to appease the radical Muslims at CAIR. Apparently, NPR now views Muslim extremists as more important than blacks in their twisted view of the world. That's the new world of NPR, or shall I say, Soviet public radio under Vivian Schiller. Vivian Schiller. Where are the Marxist lawyers claiming discrimination against the one black male commentator on the Soviet People's Radio Network? They moved on to defending radical Muslim pressure groups. Read all about it on michaelsavage.com. We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Let's take some callers and see what you think. Randy in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Doc, I have two quick points. One is about the concept of big government versus small government. It sounds like just a generic term, really, to me. But we do need a certain amount of government. If we have 350 million people in the country, we need to have a certain amount of people to make sure everything is going smooth, because we know what happened when it didn't. Second,
Wait, what do you mean? We know what happens when it didn't. When did it happen? What happened?
Speak. Everything's out of control. There's no regulation toward the banks, Freddie, everything. There was just nobody governing anything. And if it got smaller...
Wait. I think you're jumbling too many ideas together. You're arguing for a larger number of bureaucrats and more red tape, aren't you?
I wouldn't say larger. I say right now it's at least enough. It just needs to be good government versus bad government as opposed to...
Oh, well, we can agree on that, but who says more government is necessarily equivalent to good government?
I wouldn't say necessarily more, but I think from what I get from, like, their tea parties, they want it to be smaller than it is right now. And I'm saying if it gets...
Well, it's like any business. Some businesses run with very few in management. You know, usually corporations fail when they have too much management and they're bloated with management, with too many layers of bureaucracy, and nobody can make a decision. And so the answer is to cut the bureaucracy, cut the number of managers. I think that's the argument coming out of the Tea Parties, Randy, is not so much to eliminate government, but to make it smaller and smarter.
Okay. And you honestly think that would work?
If there were smarter people going into government, Randy, it would work. Unfortunately, we don't get the best and brightest going into government to begin with. They stay away from it like the plague. I don't know one person that I ever really hung around with who ever wanted to work for a government. Most of the people I know who went into civil service were looking for a pension. They just wanted to get along and go along and just, you know, kind of drag themselves through life and, you know, just get away with as much as they could. They were guy gold brickers.
And also, one other thing with the Tea Party that sort of confuses me. From what I hear on TV and, you know, from common Tea Partiers.
Right.
They seem to be like a big time anti-redistribution of wealth, and they were really into Ronald Reagan and stuff like that. But I recall
right.
back in the 80s, during the deregulation of AT&T, they were forced to deregulate and share, redistribute the wealth to MCI, Sprint, Ameritech, or whatever. And Ronald
Reagan, you have a very, very good memory, and you raise a very interesting point. Deregulation was a mixed bag. It did not always work out the way people hoped it would work out. You can even see that in the schools, where community boards took over entire, like cities used to be, let's go to New York City. When I was young and a teacher, it was the New York City Department of Education. Then there was an argument after the 60s to deregulate and to turn it over to community school boards. I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
Definitely.
And what happened with the community school boards was not what was intended to happen. Rampant corruption ran through the local community school boards at a higher rate than it did through the New York City Department of Board of Education. So deregulation does not always work. I agree with you.
Okay. All right. Hey, get a man.
Look, Randy, with me, what you're going to get is one man talking to another. You're not going to get a fixed set of answers that, you know, with a sheet in front of me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I know where I would vote and how I would vote, and I've said so on the show. But the problem is I don't know how the people are going to vote, and I hope to God you go out and vote. But I'm going to give you the traveler's guide to the voting booth called Trickle Up Poverty. Stay on the line, Randy. You get a free copy. Leslie in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Leslie calling. I just wanted to let you know that I'm 52 years old, and life is so different now than it was when I was a little
girl. Of course, nothing remains the same, but you wouldn't expect it to remain the same, so let's not say that it would. Your life was different when your parents were alive, so you'd expect it to change. The issue is not change. The issue is how it has changed and what direction we're going in. See, not all change is bad, but not all change is positive either.
Absolutely. But let me add, Michael, that I finally got your book. My father bought it for me the other day at Barnes & Noble in Freehold, New Jersey, and it wasn't out. It was in the stock room. He had to ask the lady.
Oh, my God. She hid it in Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
Well, that's terrible. All right. Well, don't worry about it. As long as you're enjoying it. Like my mother used to say, as long as you're enjoying yourself. I don't know if she shined us on or what. Mom, poor mom, may she rest in peace. Whatever you'd say to her, she would say to you, as long as you're enjoying yourself. You could say, Ma, listen, I'm calling. I just had an auto wreck. That's okay, as long as you're enjoying yourself. She always had a standard remark. Maybe I should use that with my callers because I'm in a space cadet mood. I think I ate too late. I ate too much. I said salmon teriyaki, no sauce. And then I said chicken teriyaki, no sauce. He put sauce in the chicken, and I think the sugar got me, and I have a hypoglycemia job right now. I tried the tea. I'm waiting for the end of the show so I can get my... Do you know what the best news is why I'm feeling good? You want to hear the God's honest truth why I'm feeling like I can sit on a, let's say, not a peak. I'm not on a peak. I'm on a plateau because I beat corned beef. I mean, this is one of the most delightful moments of my adult career. For me to take a man, the giant, the green giant, the jolly green giant, and push him down to number three, one slot to go, and then I can rest easily. We have to push the comedian out of the slot.
Savage.